All right, you know what day it is, and you do know what time it is, and yes, you are on time, and it is the Insight Hour. Yes, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, investigative reporter extraordinaire, Sherry Kane, R.J. Hampton here opening up the show, and tonight we have a very special guest. But before we do that, let's go ahead and do what we normally do, which is to bring on Dr. Len to do the invocation, and then let us not make any waste of time here. Let's get right into the subject of the evening. Aloha, Len. Give us the invocation.
Well, thank you, Reverend Roxy. R.J. Hampton, ladies and gentlemen, the premier comedian and political commentator we have a privilege of listening to as opening our shows every week, pretty much. So thank you, R.J. Hampton.
Heavenly Father, well, I praise to make you it short
glorious
and sweet.
Blessings. Thank you so much for all the gifts that you're constantly pouring out from your heavenly throne onto we the people, showering us with your love, with your sustenance, with your prosperity in all ways, with your 528 Aloha spirit. We love you and thank you. Praise you for all these glorious blessings. We ask for special blessing tonight for all the people who are in need of eliminating the fear in their hearts so that they can live fully and faithfully, enjoying the power of prayer to manifest a new reality, both for themselves and their families, but for also all of the people all over the world that need the restoration of faith. This power of prayer, we praise you. We also ask for a blessing and a gifting for all those to wake up to the power of prayer and the certainty of faith being a major factor in your sustaining us optimally, in prosperity, eternally. So tonight, Heavenly Creator, I ask for a special blessing to go out on all those people who have been victimized by vaccinations, because this is another issue that we're going to be dealing with tonight on the Inside Hour. We ask for the angels to go out and spread the truth that shall set us free about vaccination, intoxication, and toxicity. So we ask for clear channels of communication and broadcasting, that all of the technical equipment works well tonight, and that this message gets carried through the ethers and through the electromagnetic frequency networks to the people who have ears to hear, and may they be multiplied, exponentially multiplied, so that ultimately, we now know and shall know and celebrate the knowledge that vaccinations is not something that we wish to pursue, and that there shall be an open door for freedom in this domain. In Yeshua's blessed name, I praise you. In all the holy names, I praise you. Amen.
RJ, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Let's take it away. We've got a guest.
Okay, perfect. We have a really special guest on tonight, and I want to talk to everybody about it. He contacted me the other day. His name is Dr. Tamir Baruti. He specializes in family medicine, and he works out of Michigan. On November 22nd, one of his patients had notified him that on that day, a district court judge in Jackson, Michigan, forced her to vaccinate her child or go to jail. So I want to welcome Dr. Baruti to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you on. So I know we have a lot of listeners out there tonight who are very, very interested in what happened with your patient and how this went down. Your patient actually was facing jail time?
That's what she informed me yesterday while I was at the hospital caring for her mother. She came in very upset and stated that the judge basically gave her an ultimatum. Either she would go to jail or she would give her child 5 vaccinations, which she didn't want to go to jail, so she got the vaccines into her child yesterday.
Well, that's just awful, Dr. Baruti. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
I'm a board-certified family medicine. I basically born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, did my medical undergrad at the University of Michigan, and Harvard Medical School at Wayne State University. Did general surgery for 1 year at Harlem Hospital, New York, and then finished up at St. John, Detroit, Michigan. I'm in private practice in rural Michigan.
Hi, Dr. Broody. It's Len Horowitz. How are you?
Hey, how are you today?
Good. Listen, thank you so much for taking your time and coming on the show tonight. When you mentioned Michigan and your activity in medicine and training in Michigan, that really has been a hotbed for vaccination, particularly in the anthrax arena.
Right.
Were you aware of that Michigan being kind of like the lion's den, so to speak, for vaccinations? I know you may have heard of Dr. Osterholm from Michigan. Do you have any knowledge of that organization and the work that they've been doing?
Personally, I do not. I'm only familiar with Mary Toko. I'm familiar with her and her attempts to educate the people in this community on vaccines.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Yeah, Mary's a wonderful trooper. She's been at it for quite a long time.
So what's interesting, Dr. Tamir, was that you really don't follow the protocol that most medical doctors in Western medicine follow. You're a lot different in your view on pharmaceuticals and vaccinations. And can you tell everybody out there how that viewpoint came about?
I've always, I guess, questioned a lot of things through, whether it was college or medical school. And I actually start looking at outside the box, as you would sometimes. And I found some different types of literature, videos on vaccines, and I start looking more into them, only to find out that maybe what we were taught in medical school may not have been correct. And in Michigan, there is an immunization waiver form. It's form number DCH0716, which allows any person to opt out of any vaccine. So for this judge to have done this, that means they went over the law of the state of Michigan, which is very hard for me to understand how they can do that and get away with it.
You know, they really can't legally, but they are getting away with it. They're overstepping their authority, and they're doing this routinely. The FDA has been doing it, and here in Hawaii, we're involved now in taking the Office for Disciplinary Counsel to task. They operate like the state medical board or the state dental board overseeing the attorneys. And they have certain rules that they're supposed to follow to keep the attorneys in line. And they are routinely violating their own rules, their own statutes, and consumer confidence. So, you know, this is, I think, what we're witnessing across the board now. And indeed, it's extremely frightening. What do you think that we can do to help, besides prayer, this poor mom who now has to deal with her children being vaccinated to stay out of jail?
Well, I think what one thing is just education. The vast majority of people that I've come in contact with children actually believe they are required to have their children immunized or vaccinated, which is just not true. So education and information, I think, has to be out there in a stronger amount than what's out there now. But it's just not available, it seems. Most people believe they have to have these vaccines, and then they're sort of intimidated to have them through ways like this. It's just so sad.
Dr. Rudy, this is RJ here.
Go ahead, RJ.
I have a question. Is this child for the immunization? How old was this child?
The baby is about 2 years old right now. The mother is a single parent, and the
is she on assistance?
I believe so. I'm not sure. I believe so, though. Yes.
Yeah, I think the extenuating circumstances in this case are. It involved civil litigation between the husband and the wife. Wasn't he in support of vaccination, and didn't he take her to task on that? Is that how this issue
came before the judge?
It came before the judge that way. However, they are not married. They're a young couple, and they're teens, but not married. And that is what happened. The father and his mother wanted vaccinations, and the mother, who actually takes care of the child, did not, and refused them at birth also. But that's why it got into the court system, yes.
Yeah, I've seen this time and time again. Great tragedy.
Yes. The interesting thing, the judge is a prosecutor. She's only about 35 years old. And according to the mom, she stated in the courtroom that she believes in immunizations and that she has two children herself, and that's why she made this ruling.
So she's just very ignorant to really what the facts are about vaccinations and the dangers of them. And now, what vaccination specifically, do you know what five vaccinations she was forced to take?
I did not get that information while I was at the hospital, no. No, not exactly which ones they were.
And did you get the name of the judge?
Yes, the judge name is a Susan, and her last name is B-E-E-B-E. This judge, like I said, is only about 35 years old. She was the youngest appointed judge by our governor, Jennifer Granholm. She was assistant prosecutor prior to that.
So she just follows orders.
It's really interesting because Michigan is a state that has both religious and philosophical exemption on their books.
That's correct.
And so this is just a flagrant policy by this young judge, it seems. She has not been pulled up, but it's now too late. The child's been vaccinated already. But it's not too late for us to inform people that there are things you can do to make sure that this doesn't happen to you, in terms of just making it clear through the legal system. Not everybody has that ability, but they have to begin to realize it. Look at your states and who has what. Some have philosophical, some have religious. But this circumstance is a little outside the box in terms of the judge. I think everybody who hears our voice should be contacting this judge and making her aware of an egregious error that she's made towards this mother and her judgment, subjective judgment.
Yes.
You know,
I think there's one thing that's also important. And if the religious exemption and or philosophical exemption available to the mom or the family was exercised officially and appropriately early, that would have probably prohibited the judge from doing what she did. So that's one lesson that we might want to take out of this conversation tonight and educate the public about. It's that you have the power to declare a religious or a philosophical exemption that shall be honored, that must be honored according to statute. It occurs to me, though, it's very likely that the mom did not exercise that legal requirement in order to then prove to the court that she had a legitimate exemption available and was taking it. And so I think that that's possibly something that we need to do. And I think some sort of a declaration we should post on the websites and spread around the vaccination risk awareness movement, that we need to start posting these things that give an example for legal filing, such as when a child is born, that a mother with a religious incentive would take this form to a notary, have it notarized, and have it attached to the birth certificate, file it with the public health department, file it with the state perhaps, as a preventative measure against this type of coercion.
And you can actually visit tetrahedron.org, and if you look up, click on the link articles, there's a bunch of things that Dr. Horowitz put up there that you can use. One of them is an event, is the exemption, the vaccination exemption, and there's other things there where you can get educated on what your rights are, and also on the dangers of that, of actually having to take this vaccination versus, you know, going to jail. And the fact is that I personally would have taken the jail time and would have fought it, even though I would have been in the system. But knowing what I know about vaccinations is not right. what most people know about vaccinations.
Right. You know, it's a frightening thing to face jail time, because then your employers in the future look badly upon you and your record, and you may be prohibited from taking certain jobs. So it's understandable that this poor lady was forced to do this, and why she, you know, caved to it.
She was a young girl. She was a
But I also want to interject here. I want to interject here. Her attitude saved her child from having those done at infancy. And in her holding out each month, each day that goes by that she held out, gave her child one more chance to perhaps, because we're talking about infants that are being vaccinated. Here's a woman who fought it off for, what, the kid's 2.5 years old. So in one sense, there's also that sense of wanting to see the positive for her, that in her valiant struggle, she may have spared her child from some type of adverse reaction because the baby was, you know, too young. So I just want to say that and tell her that even though it may be seen that she caved in, I applaud her for her the opportunity to at least have given her child a chance.
You know, I think that that's a very good and an important point, and I think the only thing I'd add to it is the fact that the chance was given to allow the immune system to mature. The challenge a lot of times with injecting 12-hour-old infants, and that's what the policies are, 12-hour-old infants, whose immune systems aren't mature, get injected with 3 hepatitis B vaccines, starting with the first one at 12 hours. And that is hideous when you consider the fact that the immune system is just still rapidly evolving at that point, and it's getting hypersensitized instead of immunized. And so I agree with that. And I think the other thing is, when Sherry mentioned that folder in the tetrahedron.org website, in the articles section, it's the vaccination folder that you can access, freely download these documents. There are 2 other documents that any mom should have, especially for the religious exemptors. And those articles, one is titled Vaccination, the Ungodly Practice. And it goes through the Bible. We did your homework for you years ago. We went through the Bible and looked for the verses that have to do with keeping the blood pure and keeping the seed from being mixed, which is not what happens when you get injected with foreign genetic material from all the different sources, bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryo, bovine fetal serum, et cetera, et cetera. So you get that document and make a copy of it and file it with your declaration of exemption, of demand for religious exemption from vaccinations, and it becomes an exhibit to this document. And then the other document is an article called What Jesus and Moses Would Say and Do About Vaccinations and TB Skin Tests. And that's a terrific article also that reviews the scriptures, the Old and New Testament. And so for Jews and Christians and Muslims, this is a wonderful opportunity. And in this type of now discussion, where we need to have some plan and understanding and education, we've got to integrate these types of this type of literature and information. I think what we need to do is post this article that we're now talking about, a official legal declaration of demand for exemption. I think, and then spread that around the vaccination awareness movement.
There was a doctor whose name.
I'm,
Go ahead, RJ.
I'd like to ask a question of the doctor about the schedule. You're a pediatrician, or are you a regular doctor?
Yeah, I'm a family medicine, and I do obstetrics, so I do low-risk obstetrics, and I take care of children.
Is there any mandatory schedule? Is there a mandatory schedule for immunization for babies from, like, when they pop out till they're, till they're a certain age that you're supposed to follow? Is it mandatory?
There's nothing mandatory in the sense that anyone can refuse or waive any vaccine. The vaccines are recommendations only, and that's right out of the CDC website on the web. So there's nothing that is just mandatory, but the way it is presented to the public, it is seen as it is required, and most people believe it is required.
Have you ever, Dr. Tamara, have you ever been actually approached by Big Pharma to promote their vaccinations or drugs?
The only one, well, a couple of them were the Gardasil and the one for shingles, and we did not. We do not do any vaccines in our office.
Wow. So the Gardasil people came to you and said, we want you to take this up and you can make good commission on it? How do they approach you?
Basically, they said that they would give us some type of special pricing, is how they put it, and they would help us with the literature to provide to people on the two vaccines, the shingles and the Gardasil. And after looking into it and doing my own due diligence, I decided not to do that.
Well, the Gardasil shot is actually required for any young girls 11 to 14 that want to come into this country. It's extremely dangerous. It can cause sterility. It can cause death. It's supposed to prevent cervical cancer. And really what it does is it actually gives you cancer. And we always say the Center for Disease Control is actually the Center for Disease Creation. So what they're injecting in you to prevent the disease is actually the disease itself. So a lot of people don't know that, and don't get your child vaccinated, and don't allow your teenager or young adolescent to get vaccinated with Gardasil. Stay away from it. Even though it's promoted by the mainstream, I know Rachel Ray has Gardasil vaccination ads all over her magazines. Don't buy into what the mainstream says. Don't buy into what Dr. Oz says when he says, go get the flu shot. These are all promoted by Big Pharma. Big Pharma and the mainstream media are in bed together. They are one, and that's a lot of the research that we've been doing for a while now. It's very interesting that they approached you on that.
Yeah, one of the things we found when we did our own research is that there is a chemical called polysorbate 80 that's in the Gardasil, and when you look at it, it's when they test polysorbate 80 in mice, it caused sterility and infertility. And now they want to give your young ladies, and now, as of February, your young men, Gardasil.
Yeah, young men need to be prevented from getting cervical cancer. That's an interesting one.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but anatomically, that doesn't sound very correct, does it,
Dr.
Baruti?
You're correct. I've not seen a male yet with a cervix. Yeah.
It's not really a laughing matter. But it is very, very ironic that we are having to deal with this.
It's very
because
scary.
As a person of color, I know that that this particular vaccine has been targeted at minorities. And when I think back to the King Alfred plan and back in the 70s, what was happening, and I now today, 30 years later, am looking at them coming to fruition, and that my own people are recommending that their own people should do this, that this is good for us, is that the way to eliminate a group of people is to eliminate the breeders and those that would carry the future genes. And so for me, although I have a knee-jerk reaction and somehow find it amusing that they would try to do this, it's a very real thing that we need to guard against.
Gardasil, yeah. Yep, good, extremely well-taken point. This global genocide
particularly affecting minority groups. If you look at the not just the polysorbate 80, but the vaccinations now have these adjuvants, including non-oxynol 9 spermicide, which causes birth defects, brain damage, liver and kidney damage. But I think when you look at spermicides, you look at birth control, you look at the fact that the Roman Catholic Church even had come out against vaccinations because they, in Philippines and Mexico, proved, and it was apparently here in North America as well, proved that the vaccinations were sterilizing people of minority populations heavily. And you look today at the percentage of women, black women in America, that are sterile, and it is about between 25 and 35%. And that is insane. That is simply a sign of genocide, targeted depopulation, and the same with Native North American women, Indian women, around 25% are sterile because those populations are heavily targeted with the vaccination propaganda. And
we have a film called Pharma Whores, the Showtime sting of Penn and Teller. And if you watch a segment in the film, Bill Gates talks about how a portion of the population needs to go, and it's going to be done through new vaccinations, which is something, quote, he says he loves, quote, end quote. Wow. And so he says,
I love vaccinations. And then he tells you because they're going to reduce 10 to 15% of the vaccinated population. So, again, you've got to think about that. Why would he, in a major international conference, be before major technological company experts and executives and leading globalists, bankers included, tell them that he loves vaccinations to reduce populations when we have been told as we the people, the consumers, that vaccinations – advance extended life and help save people.
Wow.
You know, doctor, I want to ask the doctor a question.
Yeah.
I want to ask him a question. You know, we're coming up on a holiday season. I'm not trying to switch this in, but do you have any recommendations for people in terms of these flu shots? I mean, we've been talking about vaccines, but I see a correlation between the amount of sugar that people take in and their immune deficiency. You got any words for the people out there and insight about holidays? What do you tell your patients around this time of the year?
Well, we tell them that there are much safer ways to boost and to protect their immune system, and they don't require a flu shot. It's not needed, number one. Proper rest, proper nutrition. We advise people to take multivitamin, vitamin C. These are the things we recommend. The only other thing I may add to that is I have, for the last few years, just used myself what's called Silver Shield at a teaspoon a day, and I haven't come down with anything. I've never taken a flu shot, and I tend not to get sick either. So, again, it's proper rest, nutrition, I think I tell people to meditate. I tell people to try to get some quiet time and, you know, get down from the stress, lower their stress load. So it's a kind of a wholesome approach and not injections of anything in your body.
Well, it's at the top of the half hour of this show, and I think we should do some serious little bit. If you stick with us, doctor, we've got to let everybody know. You mentioned silver. We also have Oxy Silver Sherry. Dr. Len, it's time to let everybody know how we pay our bills.
Well, Oxy Silver, we take it. It's the world's most powerful silver hydrosol. It's available if you are an affiliate. It's available at healthyworldaffiliates.com. If you are not an affiliate and you're not interested in becoming an affiliate, it's available on healthyworldstore.com. And it is a really amazing, powerful silver hydrosol. You take maybe 3 capfuls when you're not feeling like you feel like you're coming down with something, and it really keeps it away. And I mean, we do it. I've never taken a flu shot. Dr. Horowitz nor his children have ever taken a flu shot, and I know that RJ's never taken a flu shot.
No,
we do take oxygen.
Fly away from the flu.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I totally subscribe to the latest nano silvers or the microfine silver hydrosols are wonderful. And
it keeps NASA astronauts healthy in space, OxySilver does.
Well, the OxySilver is, I think, based on all the science and a lot of research, there's the most advanced silver hydrosol is OxySilver from its basic fundamental structuring. There's the microfine silver is actually bonded to the oxygen in the water, and that creates a very, very unique molecule that presents an oxygenation cloud, like a high oxygen cloud that helps oxygenation therapy, as well as destabilizing the negative electrons on the membranes of the pathogens. So it was developed for astronauts by NASA scientists, and I have been privileged to work with the person who was the basically mentored by the inventor, and that the concept then I took this most powerful silver hydrosol, which is actually a double energy superconductor. If you think water and you understand water is a liquid crystal superconductor, and then silver is the second most electrically active conducting element in the periodic table. So you've got silver and water, double superconductor. If you understand 528 hertz frequency, and doctor, I know we haven't discussed this is just cold, but we've been doing a lot of wonderful research in 528 being that green yellow color of chlorophyll, which is the most energizing of all of the pigments and molecular structures that's been chosen by the botanical world to feed us oxygen-rich electrons. So this is what we have now imparted as like a homeopathic energy signature into the double superconductor called OxySilver. And then on top of that, and we do that with both a powerful laser. We have a 528 argon laser, and at the same time we're beaming it with that green love light. And I say love light because it seems 528 is at the heart of everything. And so at the heart of your heart, the warm, fuzzy feeling you have when you're in love, basically it's that miracle frequency 528 that's resonating. And that this concept of putting the sound in at the same time, like we do when we manufacture OxySilver, we actually play the pure tone 528. So it's getting sound, it's getting light in 528. It's creating a powerful homeopathic, and we also, RJ, I know you can comment on it because you do some of the harvesting. We put some breath of the earth, which is lava-heated steam from the Big Island of Hawaii that has the very intense purgative and restorative energy value that the famous Big Island of Hawaii is famous for, that purging and then restoration, creating the soil from the lava flow and the eruption of the volcano to lay out the soil for literally building the Garden of Eden and restoring life. So that's all great. And then on top of that, we are the only organization I understand in the world of botanicals and herbs and natural healing and even pharmaceuticals to say it's important to pray when you take anything, really, but especially OxySilver, because it really is a holy water designed to protect us against infectious diseases, boost the immune system, but also this concept of bringing love, bringing 528 sustainability into our lives, into our body temples, and especially energized by heartfelt loving intention to create miraculous manifestations of health and healing and sustenance. That's what OxySilver is. So just wanted to share that.
Okay.
So Dr. Baruti,
yeah.
I had a question for you in regards to this patient. How much jail time was she facing?
I don't know exactly. She was pretty upset yesterday when she came in the room and, you know, she started telling me this, and I didn't get any details like that. I was hoping she would speak with you herself, but she was she's actually very afraid to actually speak out on this now. I talked to her and her mother this afternoon, and she says she had to really think about this before she talks to anybody.
Would her mother be willing to speak out on it?
Her mother was willing, but her mother's still in the hospital. I'm caring for her now. And so she was just, she's very young. She, like, I think she's only about 19. And so she was very intimidated by the judge. And I don't know if the judge has, you know, threatened her in any way, but I'm a little surprised that I first had an agreement that they would talk to you, and then she called later and said she couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, this concept of fear, you know, fear is what has been used for millennia by both religious and geopolitical governmental realms to keep the sheeple moving to the slaughter. And so this is the great battle. You know, it's faith versus fear. And, you know, it's so sad, but also maybe so wonderful that we're facing a time in history where it's like RJ, like you constantly say, you know, choose in or choose out. It's black or white today. You really have a very clear choice to make, and you got to be in faith and thereby what the Bible talks about, sealed in the protection of the Creator, sealed in the contract that the Creator has to protect us and sustain us, or succumb to these threats and suffer because of your own lack of faith.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I think the most important thing here, I'm really sitting here digesting it now, realizing that we've been battling school immunization, kids getting ready to go to school, now I got to get the shots or not get the shots. Now we're talking about people having babies, mothers having babies, and like 2 seconds after the baby pops out, people have to make decisions about to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. We've got hepatitis B, and I need to really, really, really understand the rationale behind the hep B. Is it the hospitals are so contaminated? Where is this coming from that we need? I mean, you know, we used to get immune. There are so many other things that they're immunizing with. Doctor, what's with the hep B? Why does a baby pop out 12 hours later have to have a hep B shot?
Well,
for Dr. Lynn, explain what has been told to us.
It's not so much they have to have it. It is something that they're given it. As you and Dr. Lynn and doctors know, the main indication is for people who may be either sexually active or intravenous drug users, which a baby is none. So we're not sure, at least I don't know, why they're forcing these on little children at birth, but this is what is done routinely and without the mother's actually consent on most of the time. The mother may be actually in a shower, and they'll come by and pick up the baby and just take the baby off and do this to the child without the mother's even knowledge. This is something I've heard routinely happening.
Yeah, it's completely sick.
To make hep B, the vaccine itself, is there a constituent that we are concerned with? I know you've done a lot of research on hep B vaccine in terms of its constituents. Is there something in it? Because isn't it kind of tied to the AIDS thing, too? The hep B?
Yes.
Hepatitis.
That's exactly right. And I was going to mention that. In fact, the concept is only reconciled by the initial name and the history of hepatitis B. The other day I was on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and he asked me to put together a slide presentation and discussion on the Denver airport murals. And in the center of these very infamous pictures of depicting genocide in the New World Order evolution, and specifically there is a tribute to the extinct species, which includes blacks, Africans, it includes Native Americans, and it includes Jews and Christians. And, of course, in this series of murals, Leo Zagami, she was, I can't remember the fellow's name who's the artist, but he actually put in there also this concept of Muslim versus Christian war. And in the center of the floor is a mining cart with the initials for silver and gold, A-U-A-G. But if you study hepatitis B history, that was the first name given to the hepatitis B virus. It was AUAG, Australian antigen, was what it was called. And in the scientific documents from the National Institutes of Health and the Cancer Institute, this is what they called it. And then if you study it further, you realize that under United States Army contract, Dr. Saul Krugman from the New York University Medical Center had been injecting Willowbrook State School mentally retarded children on Staten Island in New York and gay men in New York City under hepatitis B vaccine trials for the Merck Pharmaceutical Company. And this is where we now have to understand, at that time, this is 1972 through 74, this followed directly Henry Kissinger, who even to this day, Kissinger and Associates is the leading administrative planning organization for the Merck Pharmaceutical Company. And Kissinger at the time was National Security Advisor under Richard Nixon. And within 2 weeks of him taking office, he ordered Admiral Sumvald from the Navy, which has been the advanced research and development for not only DARPA, but dealing with radiation exposures, dealing with aerosolized ways of killing people, dealing with the biological weapons. And Sumvald then presented Kissinger with a plan to develop population-destroying viruses, retroviruses included particularly. In fact, the definition of the HIV-AIDS virus as being a lymphotropic virus that attacks the immune system and leaves people susceptible to opportunistic infections and leukemia, lymphoma, sarcoma, immune suppression cancer complex that was virtually non-existent before 1976 when the first case of HIV/AIDS was found in New York. We never saw that in any population. And so that's precisely what was requisitioned in 69 for 70 funding by the Department of Defense as a result of Kissinger taking Sumvald's advice and saying, we can do this. We can develop a population-destroying virus. And the only other piece of history that I think is noteworthy is at that time in the Nixon White House overseeing all of American businesses. Today, he's one of the leading funding sources for the Republican Party. His name is Roy Ash, and Roy Ash was president of Litton Industries, and it was their subsidiary, Litton Bionetics, that supplied the chimpanzees for the development of the hepatitis B virus and the vaccine subtypes, one subtype for the gay men, one subtype for the children and the kidney dialysis patients, the other subtype for blacks. And this is what I published in the journal Medical Hypothesis before it was taken over, when Horaban, who was a great guy and is today demonized like I am on Wikipedia, he was the editor-in-chief for many, many years, a highly respected British Royal Society member in medicine, and he published this article that I wrote exposing this whole hideous history and catastrophe with HIV/AIDS. So it occurs to me, because the world has never come to terms with the truth about the origin of AIDS being associated with the culturing of these types of new types of leukemia, lymphoma, sarcoma, recombinant cancer viruses and immune suppressive viruses in those vaccinations, and never came to terms with the fact that chimpanzees were used to do this. And now you have today 12-hour-old infants getting injected with hepatitis B vaccines under the guise of public health. And again, it is clear. All of the evidence screams genocide.
And Dr. Horowitz wrote a book. It's called Emerging Viruses, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. And it talks about specifically these hepatitis B vaccination trials that were done and how AIDS was spread and how it was created in a laboratory first in New York City and then spread. So if you're interested in reading that book, you can actually get that book from tetrahedron.org or healthyworldstore.com.
It's called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola. Nature, accident, or intentional.
So any listeners out there interested in reading that book, it's an intense book. And one thing also I want to mention is that when Barack Obama was running for presidency and the media was trying to discredit him, and so they set him up, his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, up to be like this bad guy, was against America. So they took clips of what he actually originally said was, have you ever read Horowitz's book? Before he said, actually it was after he said, goddamn America, but they edited it. So he just said, goddamn America,
right,
constantly,
right,
on TV. They took that one bit. But really he was citing Dr. Horowitz's book, Emerging Viruses, when he said that.
Yeah, he was talking about goddamn America for creating all these hideous plagues.
Exactly.
So then when he was brought to task at the National Press Club, he cited my book and recommended people read it, and that's when I got a call from CNN. And that segment, by the way, is in PharmaWars, the Showtime sting of Penn and Teller. People, you can get that information going to PharmaWhores.com, PharmaWhores, PharmaWhores.com, and get a copy of this and screen it for your local communities. It would be a wonderful way to wake people up.
So I think I think you're a great doctor, Dr. Bree. I have to applaud you for just really standing up against vaccinations and not, going the same route as most other medical doctors go. I think that's really
commendable. Aren't you afraid for your license?
Well, that's how I that's how I feed myself and my five children I raised. But no, I guess I'm not afraid because, the law says the patients can waive, and all I do is show them that there may be some questions that they may want to look into. So in essence, I'm asking the patients to just do due diligence for their own well-being. And if they take my license because I do that, I guess they should take my license. But I'm just basically giving the patients the benefit of the doubt here, but I don't have to, as a primary care physician, give vaccines. I'm not obligated in any way to give them, and I'm just educating the patients that there may be some more to it than maybe what they have been told. So I try to provide information to them, and if they then deem that information has some merit, then they choose not to give the shot. That's their decision. But no, I still won't give them. We won't give any vaccines, period.
Dr. Baruti, you're a really good, honest man, I have to say. If people want to reach you and maybe see you for a visit, would they call? Who would they contact? What's the best way to reach you?
We're located in Michigan. We're in what's called Mid Michigan. We're just like 15 minutes south of Lansing, the capital, and about 40 minutes to the west of Ann Arbor. Our number in the office is 517-589-8252, and we'd be glad to make an appointment. We're a full service family practice. I do hospital work, nursing home work. And I see patients in the office. I'm just a regular person, regular doctor, but, I just try to think sometime outside the box.
And okay, so folks, this is Dr. Tamer Baruti. And Dr. Baruti, would you give your number one more time, your office number?
Oh, yes, that's 517, area code, 589-8252.
I highly recommend that if you're going to see a medical doctor, you see Dr. Baruti. This man is one of a kind. I have to tell you, I've talked to many doctors, and he's one of a kind.
Well, it's absolutely, I applaud what you're doing, and it's so wonderful because we get so many calls for people who want medical doctors for various things that take a holistic, insane approach.
Yes.
So, again, congratulations on your wisdom.
Well, thank you. I think it's just the action and the work that people like yourself is doing, Dr. Horowitz, that actually keeps me going, too. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've got about 8 minutes left. Is there something else that you would like to share to get completion on tonight?
Well, I'm just glad that, you know, I was able to contact you and your organization when this issue arose, and that you invited me to actually come on and discuss this. And I just think the more we can try to get people informed that, one, they are not required, at least right now, we're not being forced to get these vaccines. I don't know if that's going to be forever. I've been hearing that it may soon be mandatory at some point, and we're going to be sort of forced to get them. I'd like to know what your feeling is on that, or is that something you see down the line?
Yeah, I believe that we are witnessing more and more the decimation of our religious freedoms and our rights to exist in peace and harmony with nature. So I'm looking at the next couple years. The evolution of fascism, globalism, is the same as corporate fascism, and it can't go on like this. We're also at the same time advancing these wonderful revelations in natural healing, particularly hydrosonics, this whole concept of vibrating our bodies back to health through some simple frequencies such as 528. So there's a whole evolution and revolution taking place in the music industry and the grassroots. And I don't think that the drug cartel can keep their hold, particularly in these tough economic times. You got to pay exorbitant fees for toxic waste, drugs, the pills. And so, you know, I think there's got to be something that's going to be happening big time over the next couple years. I think it's going to create a lot of deaths. I think that those who have, as I said, faith and use prayer and have been therefore sealed. The Bible talks about this in the book of Revelation. The 144,000 humble servants are sealed in the end times to basically help others wake up and develop a spiritual existence that is eternal, not just physical. And that this is kind of like our goal here on the Insight Hour, to bring both the bad news, the intoxication, genocide to awareness, but also the great news, which has been suppressed by the same people, how to get out of this mess.
Wow. Okay.
Dr. Yes. Do you feel that what happened with your patient being forced to get her child vaccinated or go to jail, that was a form of what we're talking about, mandatory vaccinations, or that was really just, that's the start of what's going to be, is people are going to be forced to get one or they're going to go to jail?
Yeah, that's kind of what really alarmed me. I've been hearing people talk about possibly that maybe coming down the line in this I guess it is a fascist state. It seems the corporations tend to run everything, the government included. So that's what I think the definition of fascism is, when the government runs everything. So it looks that, I mean, that's a signal that we all better be looking carefully at. If it happens to this situation, this could just be the test case. And then the next case would be somewhere else, and then it'll just keep going. So
right.
we're all at risk. If this happens to
very
one
true.
Person, we're all at risk, so.
Yeah, right.
Very true. So you know, also, I want to bring everyone's attention to fluscam.com. It's a great website. Fluscam.com also has two new additions to it. Recently, there was an FDA page added. And if you are involved in natural medicine and holistic health, and you want to see, or even if you're selling, manufacturing botanicals and herbs for natural healing, you want to see where the FDA is overstepping their authority. It comes down to one simple word. The word is and. They use the definition and confuse the word or with the word and. And I've taken them to task and I've published it. And this is how the simplest manipulation of language can have a profound impact. The entire regulation of natural medicines today, natural healing herbs and botanicals and essential oils and homeopathics, are all being now fraudulently manipulated into extinction virtually, or at least controlled by Big Pharma, by the abuse of the language and their violation of their own laws. We need the people to become educated, to say enough is enough, no, and call them on it, because the truth is that they run from the truth. They can't stand the light of truth. And when you point out the truth to them, such as the doctor has been talking about, pointing out the truth that there are religious exemptions available to us in most states, and if you simply have the awareness and assert appropriately, legally, you'll be exempted. So that kind of truth makes them run away. So I encourage everyone out there to learn the truth and tell it.
I believe that program, it was, is it Codex Alimentarius?
That's right. That's a World Health Organization plot. Right. RJ, have a lot of knowledge in Codex.
Yes, it's just one of those things where we can see how something that starts in 1962 is an idea to because they knew that if they could control what goes into our bodies, they control our bodies and our lives. And in 2009, December 31st, although they are not prepared all the way to take everything off the shelves, that would be too obvious. Slowly but surely, a lot of the botanicals, a lot of the things that we would like to use, microorganisms, everything, down to the way you grow your food, the family cow in your backyard, everything is going to be regulated. And that, to me, is the offshoot of fascism, when everything needs to be regulated, the scanning. I think that, Doctor, we are dealing with knowledge that we had back in 1947 in brilliant lectures about background radiation and low levels of radiation and how it creates genetic mutations. And now today, if you want to fly, you have to put your gonads, your ovaries on the line and just go with it, knowing that if you're a frequent traveler and a young person, that this is that you will eventually become sterile, or you will produce these what they call monster babies, and very, it's all planned, and it was planned a long time ago. Siemens technology.
Wow. Yeah, well, folks, we're out of time. It's the top of the hour.
Thank you,
RJ. Why don't you close the program tonight? And folks, thank you so much for listening. Sherry, you might close the program with RJ. Doc, thanks so much for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you.
As you open your mind, let life be the thought. As you open your eyes, let life be the glow. As you open your ears, let life be the melody, layer after layer after layer. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Don't eat too much. Stay away from the sugar. Try and stay healthy. Healthy, healthy. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good night, everybody.